There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Ace Up Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about douching.
Douche.
This episode is NSFW, not safe for work. So parents and people who don't want to hear about this, you know, you can turn this off now, but it'll be fun and educational. We're going to be talking about vaginal douching and anal douching, whether they're good for you, safe for you, whether they impact STIs, and our thoughts on them.
I kind of just realized that
you're a douche.
No, yeah, the word douche, like when you're like, yo, you're being such a douche.
You just realized that?
I've never connected that to cleaning thine's anus or hole.
I guess like
it's such a different, a bro in my head who's like wearing like a Von Dutch
right,
hat
is
and clubbing
a douche, and you're like, why?
Has nothing to do with like shoving water in my hole.
That's true. I don't really know why that has become like an insult that represents somebody who's kind of lame and into themselves, or you know, like
it's so weird. And I say douche a lot,
and it's douche bag, which douche is the only thing I can think bag. Is that it's coming from like an enema bag, which is usually like a much bigger form of a douche that goes deeper. So maybe it is because it has to do with like shit. And so it's just a way to insult someone.
But it could also just have to do with vaginal wetness, which is like hot for guys, I thought.
Yeah, but that's not why you would call someone a douchebag.
No, I know. I'm just saying like it's not just shit. As we know, there's
oh, sorry.
Vaginal douche.
You're right. But I guess I mean the reason it's an insult is it's related to like yucky in people's minds. Like, oh, it's like the thing you're using to get gross stuff out of you.
It's a lazy one, but I use it all the time. You know
the
what I mean?
Douche.
It's not a like it's not a good connection, but I truly am like, oh, what a douche if like a man does something annoying. I want a new descriptive word. I've never called a girl a douche. Can they even be one?
I'm sure they could.
Yeah.
There's lots of girls on this planet. There's definitely a girl douche out there.
A douchette. Oh my God, you're being a freaking douchette, Juliet.
So yeah, this will be fun to talk about. I don't know my full opinion, and then we're going to get to that.
Okay, why don't we just get into what we learned this week, because I think people are going to be clamoring for...
for the douches.
The douche info.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You go first.
I had a hard time finding anything like super interesting this week in terms of studies.
Oh, I was going to be like, because I've been thinking about how it's like, what did we learn this week? And I was thinking like, well, here we go. Had a friend over who's Spanish. Perro means butt. Perro means dog. Perra means bitch. I learned that in
Perra
Spanish.
Means bitch.
Perra. So perro is butt in Spanish.
As in like the connecting word.
Oh yeah, B-U-T.
Not like that.
Not two T's.
Not like an anal douche.
More on those butts later. Perro is dog. Perra is bitch.
Oh, wow.
But you know what I mean? I feel like sometimes we're always looking and like reading science and being like, oh, what did we learn this week? This study. But it's like, it can also just be, what did
we
learn?
Oh, I know. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, do I learn anything ever anymore? No, I do. It's just like, Okay, so mine was from a book I'm reading, and it's just like a bunch of interesting... It's this book called Under a White Sky. I've enjoyed it so far, but I'm not too far in, but it's about human impact on Earth and just like how, because of human ingenuity, we've kind of like ruined the planet, and now the only way to save it is more human ingenuity. Not like the only way, but that it's like we actually can't just expect it to reverse and like to heal itself. Yeah. But there's just a bunch of mind-blowing facts I'm going to share with you. So... people, as in humans, as in Homo sapiens, as in Homo sapiens sapiens, have transformed more than half of the land on Earth. That's ice-free land, which is 27 million square miles. We've just modified that land. Dammed or diverted most of the world's major rivers. Our fertilizer plants and legume crops fix more nitrogen than all terrestrial ecosystems combined. Planes, cars, and power stations emit 100 times more CO2 than volcanoes do. People outweigh wild mammals by a ratio of 8 to 1. And if you include domestic animals, which are mostly cows and pigs, that's 22 to 1 in terms of how much more mass we have on this planet than like wild things. Isn't that crazy?
22 to 1 of humans to wild animals.
Well, it's 8 to 1 of humans.
No, wild animals is more interesting to me.
What?
It's 22 to 1 of wild animals, because that's taking out the domestic.
No.
Oh.
People outweigh wild animals, or maybe it's mammals. No, wild animals by a ratio of more than 8 to 1.
Yeah.
But if you include like the cows and pigs that we breed and create and make for food, then that ratio becomes 22 to 1.
Oh, like you're including those animals into the human
side of things. Because it's like human impact on the planet.
Wow, okay. I totally was like, not following that, right? But now I get that. That's weird. It's weird to add the human and animals, but I get it.
Because it's just saying that's the human impact.
Yeah, like, yeah.
We have basically created those animals.
But it's 8 to 1 of wild. Okay, okay. That is why when you see like a wild animal, it's like, oh my God, it's out in the wild. Not in a goddamn cage of a zoo.
Not in the half of Earth that has been modified by humans. What did you learn?
No, I'm like, that should be a TikTok dance. All those things.
Oh, true. Okay. Yeah,
like, they're all devastating. So we'll dance.
So that makes it really fun to
Kesha over it. Okay. Mine's a little bit more uplifting, I guess.
Great.
It's just about salaries being public and how they did this large study of academic institutions. So over 100,000 academic participants were involved in institutions that switched to make their salaries public between the years of 2008 to 2016. And there was an increase in payment to underpaid women, and the gender payment gap in each institution decreased by 2-6%. So it's like,
okay, just having the transparency. See,
it's like, why don't... That's so... It just made me be like, yeah, I remember growing up and it was like, don't talk about salaries.
Yeah.
That's like an ominous concept now, because the only people who are winning out on that are the people who are being overpaid.
And they're men. And the people who have all the money. It's not necessarily people who are being paid. Like, I'm sure there are lots of men who don't know their coworkers who are females are getting paid less than them.
Yeah.
It's the people who are running those companies who stand to benefit by people not sharing information, because if they did, they'd have to pay them more.
Yes. Like, it is weird. It feels like this sort of like, this is such a like whatever term, but like a boomer energy, like don't talk about money. But now it's like, no, actually we need to, because people need to know what they're getting paid, because we don't live in this like era of like abundance of money. We live in this era of unequal money with people at the top.
Yeah. And it always is just like, even when it comes to like unions and stuff, it's all about working together as like employees or people who are sort of like subordinate, quote unquote, under others to like collaborate together and make sure you're being treated fairly, being paid fairly. Because it comes out all the time where even like male actors, celebrities will not even be aware. It's like, it would be like the most famous female celebrity sometimes is getting paid like 2/3 of what the male is, even though they're equally as famous.
Yeah.
And then they find out, and at least there's like lots of nice stories where like the men will be like, I'm not doing this unless we're all paid equally.
Obviously, Good job, Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't even know if it's him or not.
Great PR like plan they had there. Oh, but also, I do think it's like also like, what actor is more valuable than an actor who's a woman? Because if you're an actor who was a woman, you got everyone and the gays. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, we got the money. The gays got the money. Like, you put the female's more valuable than Chris Hemsworth or whatever.
I mean, that might be true, but also lots of gays love to see hot bods on boys. So, and this is, you know,
All I have to say, know who's getting paid too much? Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
he hasn't been attractive to me since he was in Romeo and Juliet.
He hasn't been attracted to you.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't been attracted to me since 1997 when I was 12. And that's a problem. Cancel
And that
him.
Actually sounds pretty accurate because doesn't he only date like really young women?
Yeah. I think they're usually of age. Oh, but yeah, they're like 21 models. And yeah.
Like as he ages, he keeps dating the same age.
And he's just so goddamn blah. Well, he wasn't, I think, when he was younger. He was very like interesting and like androgynous and sexy. But now it's like, you're just like a 40-year-old.
I wouldn't have
man.
Called
you
it need... androgynous, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was not androgynous. He just wasn't hyper-masculine.
I flipped the table. I think he was androgynous in his Titanic.
Fucking way. Okay.
Are you kidding?
He was just kind of like looked a little prepubescent.
Okay, well, okay, fine. I don't know
playing
why
a male
I don't need to
role.
Start screaming, I guess.
So you love Leonardo DiCaprio.
I love Titanic, obviously. I love Romeo and Juliet. I think that in Titanic, he was an interesting leading man. I think that he was, I guess some might say, androgynous. That hair, the way it would fall.
Yes, but that was a trend. Like, that at the time was what a pretty boy was.
That's sexy to me. Now
oh,
it's
I'm
like
not saying
jacked
it's not.
Guy in TikTok
I'm not
land.
Disagreeing that he wasn't like... hyper masculine, like he wasn't like this rugged man, but at that time he was not playing a like gender non-conforming.
No, I'm not.
Like his image was not, what was sexy masculine.
I'm not trying to say that James Cameron's mainstream hit Titanic in any way was actually trying
well, it
to
sounded
be gender
like
bent.
It.
I'm trying to say my opinion, what I thought was interesting.
However,
about
maybe his major hit Avatar is. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking this as like a hyperbolic insinuating that Leonardo DiCaprio in his time was a really interesting type of sexy that I liked that was more androgynous than Chris Hemsworth. It was
that's more true.
Like, like for me, I guess.
They were all like that, like Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like Devin Sawa, is that his name?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they all had that pretty boy face, no facial hair, kind of slicked
hair.
Yeah, it was just a time
shirt,
period.
No hair on their body.
Yeah, exactly. And all white.
Yeah, and could also be lesbians at a cute lesbian bar in Toronto. I'm just saying. Okay. Wow.
Well, speaking of anal douching, shall we take a little break and then come back? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only one who has to make us keep going.
Every 5.5 minutes, someone in the U.S. dies of a drug overdose. Each of these deaths is tragic and preventable. There is an effective approach for protecting the health of people who use drugs and avoiding fatal overdoses. The approach is called harm reduction. Harm reduction includes things like access to sterile syringes to stop the spread of HIV and hepatitis C, access to naloxone to prevent fatal overdoses, and connecting people with the vital services and information that they need. Harm reduction doesn't require anyone to stop using drugs to get help. Instead, it provides judgment-free support for people and meets them wherever they are at that day. Please visit supportharmreduction.org to learn more about harm reduction and share your memory of a loved one who you might have lost to an overdose.
This ad is brought to you by BetterHelp. Here at Side Note, you know we're obsessed with therapy, and that's what BetterHelp is all about. Is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? Can't pinpoint exactly what interferes with your happiness? Try BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, which means no more uncomfortable waiting rooms. It's so convenient you can start communicating with a licensed therapist in less than 48 hours. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, and what's even better is BetterHelp is available worldwide. If you want to start living a happier life today, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/sidenote. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sidenote for 10% of your first month.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Whew. It's getting hot and heavy in here.
Okay. Let's try and.
For those who don't. Oh, try and do what?
Oh, I was going to make the noise. We don't need
of douching?
That. Like.
Oh, please. What? Okay. Obviously.
Whoops. Edit that out, me. I'm kidding.
I'm just like. Anytime we step into like sex or sex health, not to make it serious, but obviously I want to acknowledge that like we want to have fun and talk about this, but obviously these are like things that are important and we don't want to like, I just want to be careful never to like shame anyone for anything.
Oh, well, we don't need to shame. I douche. You douche. We all douche.
Yeah, but okay. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm just like, I know we want to have fun and be lighthearted.
Like every sex show is like... Here, like they are very serious.
Yes,
and then
so we're gonna be serious, but we're also gonna have fun. And so if we're playing around, let's hopefully not offend anyone. But like, this will be educational.
I hope we don't offend anyone. No, I don't think we thought about this. And now I'm like, oh god. No, we're talking about
so
water in holes.
Douching is obviously we're gonna both talk about vaginal douching and anal douching. But I was gonna say it's obviously very prevalent in the queer community.
MSM is what the acronym is in science journals, men who have sex with men.
Oh yeah, but that's been an acronym for a long time for male seeking male.
Oh,
but MSM,
but not, no, but not in academic, they don't mean that.
No, I know. Oh. I know, but I'm just saying like everyone knows that, because
wait, what's MSM, male seeking male? I don't
know.
Male
seeking man. It's like, well, like if you used to go on like Craigslist personal whatever page.
Whoa, Mitch is coming in strong.
Before Grindr and stuff, this is how people would know.
MSM.
You'd go to a section that was like, devoted to.
Yeah, I know. I
you weren't an internet kid.
I'm an internet slut. Okay, but in scientific journals, they always do brackets MSM, and it's males who have sex with males.
Okay. Yes.
Which I always is just like, it just seems so devoid of all the joy that comes with that act. But also, they need to study douching more, because all the answers I wanted, I could not find.
Like what? Why don't we talk about what were you wanting to know mostly?
I always wonder to thine self whilst douching. This can't be good for my colon. Like, this has to be something that, like, is irritating. Like, are there not bacteria there that are like, no, oh my God, like the biggest flood of our lives. Now we're like, am I not disrupting my digestion in a way that's going to lead to what I would say is like colon cancer? Like, that's my main concern. Nothing on that.
I think I found a little bit. I would say I didn't find any like hard studies, but I found recommendations from doctors in terms of what they think you should do. But I kind of wanted to like bury that lead a little bit.
Well, can you
but
just tell
I will
me-
say like the part of me is like, if you're worried about anal douching, shouldn't you be worried about a penis up there?
Okay.
Isn't that like a fair like...
This is leading to this thing I've been thinking about recently, which is being gay bad?
and that's what today's episode
now
is actually
I'm like,
about.
Wow, the penis is also quite the irritant in the hole, isn't it? And then there's
potentially
lube,
a much bigger one, yeah.
And then the lube, I haven't read the small print on those packages.
Yeah, who knows? And it's like your anal lining is even thinner than like so many things. It's like it's like
what?
Well, like people can absorb
mine's
things up their
thick.
Butt so easily. Okay. No, on the inside, once you get in, it's like really
that's
thin.
True.
People get like coffee enemas.
Oh,
remember,
yeah,
like
butt
people,
chugging alcohol.
Yeah, it's like dangerous because you actually
reabsorb so well.
Absorb like a lot of things through there into your
Wait,
bloodstream.
Can you just tell me the cancer thing?
Well, okay. Why don't I talk a little bit? Like,
or just go in your order,
thing?
But I'm like, I need to know that.
Okay, the answer was, okay, fine, I'm not burying the lead. The answer was that anal douching is actually, like, can be a little dangerous.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that, like, you can't do it safely, but a lot of doctors are like, you probably don't need to do this, first of all, because that's not where your poop is. Like, most people are doing it to feel clean, right? And most people are doing it to, like, get if you're going to have anal sex, have to not worry about poop at all.
That's why I do it. Then
and
I
same
feel
with
good.
People with vaginas are like doing it so that they can feel clean. And there's this idea that it might help get like menstrual blood out or that it might help with other things and like might help the smell. Because a lot of vaginal douches have like fragrance or antiseptic in them to actually like, quote unquote, clean it out.
Wow.
But specifically with anal douching, it's like the risk of tearing can be quite high. So it depends how harsh you're pushing something in there, especially if you're not using lube. It depends how hard you're pushing water in there. Like really, there's only a couple inches of space that is before where your like poop stops. So like an enema, for example, goes into your large intestine, but a douche isn't aiming to do that.
Oh God, now I'm like, am I giving myself enemas?
How are you sticking it up there?
I don't
there?
Know, but I am not a cautious person at all. So you can only imagine how my douching
is. You?
No, it feels good. You know, I'm gay. I like things up there.
The medical professionals in general, and this is just from articles, it's not from research papers.
Yeah, this is from brave doctors who came forward with their douche information.
And doctors in the queer community, gay community specifically. Obviously.
There's not gay doctors.
No, I know. Just the ones that look over us.
They don't exist.
Ultimately, their recommendations are like, you should just gently wash yourself in the shower. You don't need to be sticking stuff up there, especially if it's not water. That most people have a fear of feces, but they were like 8 out of 10 people, especially if you have a good diet, like a healthy diet with fiber, it won't be a big issue. And like the doctors would be like, just put a sheet down if you're worried.
Put a sheet down and hit the shreddies, folks. That is much smarter.
And don't squeeze too much water up there if you're going to douche.
Okay, the videos that the studies... the studies I read, there was about like 5 of them. They're all very similar in theme. I'll get to them. But they talk about these videos and they say they advise 2 to 3 doses of liquid retaining in the anal or vaginal hole for 10 to 30 seconds.
Oh.
I was like, what? People hold it in there and what? Like do a little dance, shimmy around and then...
What do you do? I mean, this is very graphic, actually.
I do.
You dance around?
A little dance, just not 10 to 30 seconds. What do you do?
I rarely do it, but because I'm like, I'm worried it's like bad for me. And then, but then it's definitely not 10 to 30 seconds.
Wow, I literally
like,
do
immediately
it,
like, oh, it needs to come out.
I literally, because I'm used to it, do it sometimes when I have like bad gas. to try and like stop myself before like a dinner.
Wait, what? You douche to stop your gas?
I will, if I have really bad farts, douche to stop my gas. I don't really know
mean?
If it works. Like I'm just feeling like there's stuff up there that's making me smell really bad and then I douche it out and then I get to go out for dinner and be less worried about the smell.
You know this lives on the internet forever.
Does anyone else douche if they are farting too much? Reach out in the comments below. Am I?
Oh, Greg.
Canceled.
I don't think you're canceled. You've just shared lots with the audience.
Okay, well, I did.
But
this
is an example of something that I'm like, we're laughing, but I also want to be serious because everyone's curious.
Maybe
and everyone
someone does that. Maybe someone else does that. With really bad gas. And if they don't, maybe they could try it. Okay, next. Next topic, please.
Okay, well, something interesting I learned about anal douching is that it was invented, specifically enemas, were invented for people with constipation.
Now we're getting back to me. People are trying to fix other ailments, not just sex.
Yeah, I think it was in mind of like, because the enema goes up into your large intestine, into your sigmoid colon, I think it's called, which is where like your poop can be stuck or not stuck, but if you are constipated, stuck. The force of water and an enema goes past the rectum. This is why doctors are like, when you're douching, you're not trying to clean out your like colon and your large intestine. You're just trying to like get the rectum, which is not that big, but an enema goes past that and like tries to wash out the rest.
So that's it was invented for constipation.
Yes. And sometimes like I saw like a doctor talking about, you know, people ask, well, then how come when I douche stuff comes out? Like, isn't that proof?
Yeah, doctor.
Their take was you're actually disturbing stuff up there and it's making it come out. Like you're wishwashing it up in the part that like if you're going to penetrate that part, you probably wouldn't disturb.
That's why I'm thinking I'm giving myself enemas by mistake. I really do think that.
You got to be careful. I think just do it gently, do it nicely.
I've never done anything gently or nicely in my life.
That's true. But I'm thinking of, like, obviously there's lots of people who mentally want to feel clean before they're having sex.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I am versatile. For anyone out there wondering, it means I am a top and a bottom. I actually love both equally. But I do not think I don't enjoy bottoming unless I feel like I can't mentally enjoy it.
Yeah. And I think that's fairly common. Like, you don't want to worry about it. Yeah. Yeah. And especially like if, yeah, it's not a pleasant feeling to feel like you're the one who could, like, quote unquote, ruin it, ruin the atmosphere if you weren't clean enough. But I think that is a little bit of body shaming and sex shaming, and, like, not from you. I just mean, like, it's totally natural. It's one of those things where it's like, it's probably not that likely unless you really have to go to the bathroom or you're, like, having a bad diet and you've been eating out a lot or something.
Yeah. Although you always say that, like, you have, like...
Don't say this.
Okay.
No, don't say that.
Let's just say Mitch feels healthier when he eats worse.
That's not true. I used to say that. I think
you'd be like, the only way I feel healthy is if I eat chips for dinner.
No,
that you'd eat healthy and be like, oh God, my stomach.
I think, okay, this is, let me try and describe it. Okay?
I don't know.
When we were younger, like, I definitely grew up not always eating unhealthy, but, like, you know, so we'd eat, like, healthy dinners and stuff, but I grew up on, like, Pop-Tarts and sugar cereal and
dream
and
life.
Like, what do you call those, Hot Pockets and stuff.
Like, you literally dream. Like, so, the YTV commercial of a family you got to live.
So I just noticed when I was trying to get healthier as I got older, I think it was just the idea of drastically changing my diet. I think anyone who does that, if you're coming from a diet that's primarily, like, high salt, high fat, high whatever, anything, and then you switch it to
salt,
all these fat,
foods, acid, heat.
It's like my gut wasn't as used to taking so much fiber or vegetables.
But it was used to taking something else, am I right? Hey, his gut can take
so
a dip.
I would notice if I tried to change my diet too much and be healthy, I would be like, it actually upsets my stomach. I don't feel as good. But I think over time I've slowly transitioned to being healthier now because as you age, eating that stuff also impacts you pretty heavily.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't really have a choice here.
Fine. There was a transition period where Mitch always felt sick when he ate healthy, and it was really funny.
And Greg has brought it up for the last 10 years. Like, anytime I'm, like, not feeling well, he's like, you must have eaten healthy. I guess you didn't eat your chips. And I'm like, okay, it's not true anymore.
Oh my God. Okay. No, I'm like, I don't need to get more personal. But I was thinking, like, I think because of, like, being, I'm just going to be personal. I love how I thought I was going to, like, not say it. And then I'm just like, I'm going to say it. Being versatile is annoying because now I douche more, but then it's like I don't even necessarily need to because I end up being the top. Whereas if you just make a decision and you
true, you know what to do, like what's expected.
And I just feel
you.
Like my vibe, like it's just like a thing that's happened. Like I just give, like I've been giving off more top energy lately, and I'm like, but I am clean. I didn't sacrifice me whole for this situation. You know what I mean? Like it's interesting that you kind of like it is smart in gay sex to just make a decision early on before you do it, and then because there's so much that goes into it.
Yeah, that's true. And it is like one of those things that, like, it's like, not like impossible to do off the cuff, but obviously it's harder. Like people want to feel prepared, and people want to feel like there's jokes about a lot of like gay men not eating for like 12 hours before they have,
which I've never thought, like, hey, I'm never not eating.
Well, I think it's like you don't want, like a lot of people don't want to feel bloated. It's not even necessarily the worry about feces. It's like feeling in your stomach that you're full of food isn't necessarily a great feeling when you.
That's interesting though. Like, I wonder if they actually are like, oh, well then 12 to 24 hours later, like I don't have to douche.
Maybe, yeah. And I think
empty.
There are pills and foods specifically geared towards gay men or people who like want to have anal sex.
Oh, we have some of that. What is it called?
Metamucil is one, but that's not specifically targeted towards gay
men. I once made a TikTok where I just held it up to you and wrote, who's the bottom? And like everyone was like, he's a bottom. So like they knew.
Yeah, but Metamucil is more broadly for even like elderly people and stuff. Like it's not just for gay people, it's like just getting extra fiber in your diet, which is promoted to anyone.
Metamucil.
Yeah, but there are pills that like I can't think of the names are kind of like friends. Targeted to you to
called,
be like
they're called like clean you out boys or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh my god, I'm not gonna name names, but our friends have them. What are they called? They're like clean as a whistle.
It's probably called like the bullet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know gay people are so simple.
But let's okay, you wanna go?
Gay people are also, as we said earlier, bad. Okay.
No.
Okay, no. So this was my issue with all of these studies. So there are many academic studies about how douching, they think leads to an increase in STI transmission. Mm. Their theories are because you are disrupting the walls like of your hole. Yeah. And therefore, if you have unprotected sex, it's going to be easier for bacteria mm-hmm. and different infections to occur. Okay, so that this is the main takeaway, but this is like something that was annoying me as I was reading these articles. So like, douching is more common amongst people who report substance abuse, STIs, or being HIV infected. It's kind of like what they're taking away from a lot of these things. And then they're like, it's all these surveys of people who have douched recently and then finding out, oh, they have hepatitis C. Like, oh, they have this STI. Oh, they mm-hmm. have chlamydia. So therefore douching causes these things. But then mm-hmm. I was like, but if you're just doing surveys, isn't it more likely that people who have douched recently are more sexually active?
Yeah.
So the likelihood of getting any STI is increased. That like, is it fair enough for you to say that douching is causing it? Because they are constantly surveying people, mostly men who have sex with men and women, but it was more rare. And then just inferring because those people who douched more
had higher rates
of STIs that it might have caused it. Yes. Doesn't that seem flawed?
It is. And I actually came across a couple of these studies too. One was like 2021 and it was kind of implying that like those correlative rates. The other one was 2019, I think. And it found that this was more correlative, not causative. So they, in their study, they were like, these things are not related. They just happen to be correlated.
Yeah. So like people who douche more are probably more sexually active and then have more STIs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not trying to be like, oh, douching's good, but I was actually annoyed that I wasn't getting clear information mm-hmm. about something that I assume is bad.
Well, this study was interesting because it was also talking about, I guess, like using douching as a form of STI or HIV prevention.
People doing it after?
Yeah.
I didn't even think that was a thing.
Me either. It sounds like it's still like early days and it's not necessarily a common practice. I'm not sure.
This was a survey that said 13 to 48% of the men who have sex with men, which now that I'm saying out loud is a very wide range.
Yeah.
13 to 48%. I'm like, it's like, what?
That's pretty big.
That's like annoying numbers. But anyways, 13 to 48% of men will douche after they have anal sex.
I mean, I guess that makes sense if they're like, I want to clean it out, especially if you didn't use a condom.
Okay, so let's just stop there and say one thing. Use condoms. Mm-hmm. So this is the... I'm doing a little bit of a side note, but in the gay community with PrEP, people are now having unprotected sex, but I'm like, hello, every other STI, not just HIV.
Yeah, I think
about that. I kind of am frustrated by that. So like anytime people talk to me about having unprotected sex, I'm like, no,
I guess it's because people feel like most STIs are treatable, right?
And but like, doesn't
HIV
it seem like
is the one that most people in the gay community are scared of. But I agree. It is like
every STI leads to,
I mean, you have to let people be autonomous in the first place, right?
Yes.
Like, it's the same as what is it in Catholic school you learn, like where you're like you're just not supposed to have sex, like they don't teach you about condoms and
abstinence
stuff. Abstinence versus like protective gear.
I love how you went to Catholic school, you're like, what is that thing they taught
me? Block that.
Yeah.
But she blocked they realize it. Like when you give people condoms, it's like when you give people contraceptive, it's way more effective than just telling them they're not allowed or you should abstain. And so I feel like not that this is the exact same thing, but it is like people should be given the choices, be given the education. If anything, education is more important, because I do think a lot of gay men or queer people maybe are only fixated on HIV because of how scary its past was. Because I mean, now, like, obviously people can live perfectly like productive lives and happy lives with HIV and manage it and be undetectable. But there's a lot of stigma around it. Whereas they get fixated on that because it's amazing that there's this thing called PrEP that they can use mm-hmm. and not have to worry about it. And then they just kind of like forget about the other stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess that's more what I'm trying to say is like, I wish there was more talk about how unprotected sex can lead to other STIs, or I wish that there was more education around that.
Yeah.
Because it does feel like a lot of people are like PrEP. And it's like, well, I'm still not going to have unprotected
sex. Yeah, it's really only like one element of like, aren't you worried about getting other STIs? But
and people are really weird about condoms in a way that I...
Well, that's because of porn. There's like I haven't enough for this. I didn't do research on it. But there's a lot of studies that show like the use of the prevalence of bareback porn is what has also reflected back onto the community.
It's always porn. And know what else is porn? Instagram. And so is TikTok. You're not getting off easy, boys, just because you were literally porn. But that's interesting. And that's annoying.
Some governments have implemented laws that porn in certain countries have to show condoms.
That is so sexy. What country is that?
I don't know. I just feel like I've heard that.
Probably Sweden. But I do actively want to start watching porn only if there's condoms.
Yeah, well, that's, I think it becomes like that level of like wanting to push the boundary. And obviously sex can be hot when you're like pushing a boundary of like what's okay, right? Or like people like to play with pain and pleasure. And so I think that doing without a condom can for some people give that same rise of like there's a bigger risk here. And obviously when you're like having sex, you're in a different mindset. Okay. But I wanted to talk a little bit about vaginal douching because, you know, I'm the expert. No, not at all. I just am like, obviously, I've just looked this up. And for the women out there, people who want to talk about this, like, feel free to correct. But around 20 to 40% of women between 15 to 45 douche, vaginal douche. This is in America. I said it earlier, but common reasons are for like unpleasant odors. I'm doing quote marks. Wash away menstrual blood. Avoid getting sexually transmitted diseases and prevent pregnancy after intercourse. These are reasons people claim.
I was like, doesn't that seem counterintuitive?
Yeah. So most research has found like none of these things to be true.
Okay.
And the problem is like a lot of vaginal douches that you would buy at like a pharmacy.
Yeah. Sometimes if you're looking for a douche, you can only get a vaginal one. And then you get home, you open it, you're like, well, this ain't going to work on my asshole.
Yeah, I ain't going to fit.
I didn't realize there was this whole other thing here.
Yeah, they kind of look like baby bottles.
And they have like, they're like the gorgeous fresh smelling scent.
Well, that's the thing. They contain often vinegar in them or antiseptic.
Oh boy.
And you have to make sure you know what's in there because the problem is, like you were guessing with anal douching, it's like it actually does disrupt your bacteria. So a lot of studies have found that for the vagina, like douching is not good.
See, I want that on anal douches too. Scientists, where are you? If you're doing your master's, I want your PhD on this. Okay, Hans, keep going.
So I will let you know, these are the things that may happen or the risks associated with vaginal douching. Women who stop douching who already have in studies are less likely to get bacterial vaginosis, which is like infections in their vagina.
They're less likely if they stop douching.
If they stop douching. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Because that same reason, it upsets the natural balance of sort of like the bacteria that your body has. You're 73% higher risk of pelvic inflammatory disease if you douche. Douching more than once a week is correlated to difficulty getting pregnant and increases the risk of ectopic pregnancy by 76%, which is when the embryo implants outside of the uterus.
Whoa.
And it's an increased risk of cervical cancer or like a weak correlation to it. There's not as many studies or evidence for that, but enough that most medical professionals, so it seems, would say like douching for women or for people with vaginas is not worth it.
It makes sense. There's more research on that because it's like we live in like a heteronormative world. It makes sense that there's more information about douching with vaginas rather than douching with your anus.
And if you go to most, I'd say like that's pharmacy good places, like there are not always anal douches unless you're in a gay area. Yeah. Like it's funny to go to a Shoppers in the Village.
Oh, I sometimes
versus use, just like
I sometimes use like a it's like an eye.
What? It's probably it's one like, of those. It's like to clean a camera. Like
it's like, oh yeah, it's like to clean a camera. Well, remember when we were filming that show like that. And everyone was had? I was like, oh, like, whoa, you're holding a douche, and this like bro, like camera guy's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, that's a douche. Like whatever you're blowing on your expensive lens that you can't stop talking about is a douche. Like it would work. Anyways, I have something like that. Okay, but I do think that's really valid information. I want that type of information for anal douching.
That was the anecdotal. Like for anal douching, that's what I came across from experts. I think they're like sort of extrapolating from the vaginal douche studies, but I think it is like you're likely up disrupting, especially if you're using not just water.
Okay, so this is something kind of interesting. A, 1 in 10 men for this one survey reported bleeding after rectal douching.
Oh.
So that's kind of like, I know I thought I was not careful, like that guy. But I think that's a really good point in that. If there is bleeding from it, then you're obviously going to increase your chances of getting an STI
and through even transmission. Just increased risks of infections.
Yeah. So it's like, any okay, sort of issue. That's like obviously like from like a physiological perspective, doing something before sex that involves blood is like not going to be good. But then also they were realizing that douching was so common in men. Actually, there was this one funny study where they
in gay men.
I don't know. It was like the way they asked the question was, it was like, how many times have you douched? And each time you put the water in nine hole counted as one douche. So the percentage went over 100% because all the gay men were like, oh, well, before I had sex, I actually put water in my hole like six times. And they were like, it is so common. It was above 100% because the way we asked, they were like, oh, yeah, like seven times a day or whatever. And so the study was like, if we can figure out how to create a substance that can be anti like viral or some sort of antiviral HIV medication or some sort of topical
STI you want to really squirt like antibiotics up.
It doesn't exist, but they were just saying this is a practice that gay men would be willing to do. So it's another avenue of protection, like
disease prevention.
If like right now people are mostly just using water, saline solution, or maybe like something that smells like a rose petal, if sadly you have to live in the world of like being a woman with beauty products, which is like a hell. They were like, maybe we could create some substance in the future that men would be willing to put into their ass before sex, which is always kind of interesting. Yeah, they're like trying to be like, they were just trying to understand the behavior of
douching. It's nice to know that there's research looking into that to kind of help the taboo of anal sex in the first place. Like, that is amazing. If you can do disease prevention from that end as well, and not just like condoms, great.
But yeah,
because people are gonna do it no matter what, both queer, straight, whatever.
Yeah, the men, like, I don't know. These studies on these men, they really were trying to say that they do think it increases STI transmission, HIV transmission. I mean, the fact that you could be bleeding, those things make sense to me. But I really wasn't impressed with the studies, like the way that they surveyed. They would write things like, we took into account all confounding variables, but they wouldn't explain why. And I was like, I just feel like there's a huge flaw here, because people who are douching more are having more sex. And I just think because they have an STI, you can't just say it was from the douching.
Yeah.
And I'm really like, there's a lack of research in anal, like rectal douching. And what I was curious about, which was like direct correlations to like inflammation of the colon, or inflammation leads to cancer. Like, so what kind of like biological processes are happening when water is going up there, or even a dick, I guess.
I would say my takeaway is like, obviously so many people are both, I think it sounds like there's more clear-cut evidence for vaginal douching, but a lot of people are anal douching, and there isn't so much evidence about, like, major disruption. Obviously, you have some correlation between, like, disease transmission, but I think my takeaway is, like, people aren't going to stop, I don't think, unless there's hard evidence that it's actually going to cause you, like, long-term problems. Hard cock evidence. And so if you're going to do it, it's just be careful. Don't be so aggressive with it. You just like know that there's only a small area that you're really trying to sort of like clean out, quote unquote.
I love that. Small area, a few inches. Yeah,
and take a little bit at a time.
You don't need a super soaker, blast it. Like, what were they, remember? Super soaker 3000. You don't need that.
And yeah, then do it. You'll feel good. And you just don't have to worry as much about, and have fiber, honestly. Have fiber. And you'll probably
For the gays.
Or women who are anal. Anal sex.
Anal sex, true. I'm going to go back to my really flawed thing that I think every time I bring up, you're like, Greg, this is annoying, about why I think straight men are gay.
Okay.
Because it's like the pressure.
Here we go.
It's just like the pressure that men have toward, this is made up, this is hyperbolic, this is just a vibe I'm feeling from society that I get told. Okay. That like men are like, oh, my girlfriend's little flower better smell like a rose or whatever. That is so annoying. It's like a vagina is hot. Like, I'm gay and I'm like, a vagina is hot with the liquids there. The whole point is you're trying to get her wet. You're wanting there to be things there. Like, it's reminding me of this like gay vibe where like my girlfriend's vagina has to be perfect.
I see what you're saying.
Smell perfect, be shaven for me to enjoy it. It's like, oh, that doesn't sound like you like vagina. Naturally, it sounds like you're gay and you're just making up excuses to not do it because you really want to do your buddy Chad. Anyways, I've had weird people talking. Like, this is my theory.
I mean, like, okay, yeah. So that means straight men are gay. Okay. So,
yeah. Or why are they like putting so much pressure on women to be like,
yeah, there's a so weird perfect. Stigma around it. If they're attracted to them, it
should
yeah.
be.
I will say just the other flip end of it is like, yeah. Don't bring a nasty, dirty penis near me. Right. Like, there's one thing to say, like, I wouldn't mind a decent hygiene. And I'm sure it can go the same for straight couples. It goes both ways. You know what I mean?
So but there's probably really, you don't like a stanky dick?
No. But I understand that sort of stigma around vaginas has been like way overblown.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe I don't like a stanky dick, but I've never, ever said that out loud. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never made it a part of any part of my attraction.
It's not
like,
part of your personality.
It's not. And it's like, and I just haven't had bad experiences. And if someone's truly was so, like, it just actually never happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not that prevalent. It's never been, an individual problem if it is.
Even if it was, for example, I don't even know. There's a part of me that's like, if I'm turned on.
No, Greg, okay. I've been in a bad situation before. And it's just like, yeah, nothing crazy, but it's like, obviously no one wants to have to deal with something.
But it breaks through the horniness.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
But.
Well. But that's just
general hygiene, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not having to like literally change your biology and like shove water up your
body. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just... Again, as I said before, it's a very flawed opinion. I just am sick of guys talking to me about girls in this way where I'm like, why aren't you just attracted to them the way that they are? Because they're hot. And I'm like, they're hot.
That's weird.
It's so weird. And men are just so fragile. They're it's just that, such lots fragile
of men are,
people.
Okay, so like we can't just like always just say, like there's lots of guys who probably hear that and are like, no, I love when a girl smells like a girl and when a girl like, I don't know.
Yeah, and they're
getting closer.
Those guys are hot. Okay. Clearly just having like specific situations like, oh, obviously thinking about.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
So I guess like we're still douching out here, folks.
Yeah. And I think like even with the vaginal douching, most of the studies were like, if very frequent is when those percentages increase. So I imagine it's similar for anal douching. Like, it depends how often you're
maybe
doing
I shouldn't be doing it when I go to a dinner if I have bad gas.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe I should decrease
it. Maybe you should
just
like think about what you've been eating.
And maybe
which is
be...
like way too much protein, and that's why you always have
yo, the gains ain't coming from nowhere there, but
okay.
I will say that this is the end of douching. Is there anything else to be said?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I feel like it's clean. The water came out clean. That's for the people who douche. Yeah, it is kind of an awkward thing. And now I'm like going through everything I just said. And I'm like, do I What's take that? It all back? Are people even going to hear this?
What
no, there's no shame in ass.
No, do whatever you want, honestly. I think you should do it if it's the only way you're going to feel comfortable. But I think there's also a little work to be done around just like accepting the way bodies are sometimes and like working towards what can you do outside of douching that can also improve that if that's a big thing for you.
Know what I was thinking though? In the future, we might have kids and then it's like they can never listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Like what? Imagine knowing that
we're
going to
delete all of this. We're locking the podcast.
I actually think that's what I would want to do. Because imagine being
that's
kid.
So, oh my
because
God,
you would go through that weird, great...
Where you're like curious.
12, when you're 12 and your brain isn't fully developed, your prefrontal cortex is like half the size it should be.
We're deleting this all
and
right
you
now.
Would, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we're not deleting it right now. When we have a kid...
Just in case we forget.
I won't forget. When we have a kid... When we potentially have a kid who turns 7, Side Note Podcast is gone. Actually, maybe even Aesop Science is gone.
Yeah,
like
I
just
think by
wiped
then,
from
that's
everything.
A long time from now.
Exactly. Like I'm just saying, like I do want to wipe all history of everything I've ever said when my kid turns 7.
I think you have another thing coming.
Wait, what does that mean?
I think it's really hard to wipe everything.
Oh, sorry. I know how to do it on this. I know how to do it on this.
I know, but people can download, save, whatever.
No, no it's one's all... saving this. And please don't save this. If you're that person, like, don't save this douching up. Save the one about climate change. My kids will like that one. But I know how to wipe it. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird?
That's terrifying. I've never thought of that. And now I'm like, I never want to speak about anything I wouldn't want to like learn about my parents.
No, but we're going to delete. But then also, I think that's like the modern parent thing, because kids are definitely learning so much about their parents. Like, yeah. Now I'm friends with like parents on Instagram, and they like post on Instagram, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. You have kids. Like, there's something about having kids and still posting on Instagram. It's like, am I going to do that?
I don't know.
Are you going to do that?
I don't use Instagram.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, so yeah. Enjoy this while it's still in the ether. It'll probably be gone in, what, 10 years?
Hopefully. Hopefully in 10 years this will all be gone. We'll never have to think about it again. Okay. Shall we go?
Yeah.
That was your douche sound.
Peace.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.